Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Long Slice Brewery presents a live event celebration of Gord Downie July 19th at the Rec Room in Toronto. Join the hosts of the podcast Discovering Downie as they record their finale with special guest Patrick Downie. A silent auction with items from the hip and many others will take place, along with live entertainment from the Almost Hip. All proceeds will benefit the Gord Downie Fund for Brain Cancer Research. For more information and tickets, please visit discoveringdowney.com.
Tuvra! Podcasts and such.
Welcome, music lovers. Long Slice Brewery presents Discovering Downie.
Hey there, listeners. This is Craig, and today on Discovering Downie, I am joined by Dale Robertson. Dale is a 30-year veteran of the Canadian music industry, and he is here to share a few stories about Gord and the Hip. Welcome, Dale. How's it going?
Thank you, Craig. It's going very well. I'm happy to be here. This is, you know what, my first podcast participation ever.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'm pretty new to this too, so yeah. We'll just see how it goes. But nice. I have you on today to talk a little Hip because I know you're a big fan, and that's how I met you, is talking about the Hip. And your name was a name that would come up over and over through our mutual friend, Matt Pinch. And I thought I'd just share a quick story about how I met Matt that you probably don't know. So it was grade 7 for me, and Matt was a year younger in grade 6, but we were in a class together. And my good friend had moved out of town that summer, and so I was without a close friend at school. And one day we were seated next to each other, and Matt started talking to me about WWF wrestlers, and he was very enthusiastic. And I didn't know too much, but I went home and made sure to watch that, you know, Saturday night, and came back to school the next week with a little bit more knowledge about wrestling. And we would spend our days drawing wrestlers on blank pieces of paper. And then we would take our compass and one at a time drop the compass on each of the wrestlers. And if it hit, we would make a little tally. And after 10 hits, that wrestler would be eliminated from the battle royale. And so that's how we met. And then we ended up, you know, Matt was the first person I ever met who played guitar. He got a guitar for his birthday, I believe, and I would pick it up and I just fell in love right away. And so I you know, started playing shortly after that, and we ended up actually starting our first band together, and you know, started playing cover music, and within a year we were playing all original. And yeah, that was my first band experience, with along with our buddy Blair, who you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
our friend Bob on drums. And yeah, how about you? How did you get to know Matt?
So I met Matt when he joined BMG while I was working there, here in Vancouver. And he came on board as a street team member, I think it was around 1998 or so. He then became our street team leader, which, you know, the really cool thing about the street team programs that the labels were utilizing was that it was a great sort of starting ground for somebody getting into the music industry and to get hired from there, because typically as a street team member, you're volunteering. You were out there, you know, putting stickers on bathroom walls or putting posters up on either walls where you're allowed to, or in street corner. You've seen those, you know, let's say the new Treble Charger album at that time, coming soon, blah, blah, blah. So Matt was part of that.
Right.
And then he ended up moving into the radio promotions department within BMG until 2004, when he was an unfortunate victim of the Sony BMG merger.
Right.
And that was phase one. You know, it's very typical for these mergers where, you know, you become a victim to the downsizing. You know, it affected me eventually in 2007, where we had an office of 11, and the next day there were only two left. I was one of the nine.
Wow.
But yeah, it's just, you know, that's the nature of the beast, and the music industry is volatile. It's just that crazy, you know, you love it and you can also kind of despise it at the same time because of some of the debris that it can leave in its wake. But, you know, you're in it for the music. You know, it's,
yeah.
I would have to say that the Hip were probably a major catalyst for me in terms of my love for music and, you know, seeing them play live. It's, you know, you've seen them. It's the band that I saw the most in my live music experience. I've never seen any musician more than, or artists more than the Hip.
I think I've seen Spirit of the West maybe one or two times more, being out West my whole life. And so they were just playing around this area a lot, but yeah, the Hip are number two for me. And when I met you through Matt, it was actually at his wedding or the lead up too. And I remember you had some interesting stories. So, so you actually met the Hip way back, I believe you said way back in the early days.
Yeah, it was really kind of a wild thing because so in 1990, I started working for this company based in Winnipeg who were basically the exclusive contract for catering through, I think it was Periscope Promotions at the time, which became, I believe, House of Blues. It's now Live Nation.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, this little company that, you know, might make it big one day. Might even have a monopoly one day. You never know. But the, so yeah, we were doing these, we would cater these shows. And then in Winnipeg at the time, there was this theater that had been renovated. It's now called the Burton Cummings Theater. At the time, it was called the Walker. And the Hip were playing there. They were, I believe, the first band to reopen that venue. And so as part of the catering, you're there all day long. So it's long hours. You know, it's you're there from 6 a.m. until usually load out at 2 a.m. Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, got to meet the Hip. The first time I got to actually meet Gord, I'm standing beside him as we're watching the Sky Diggers open up for the Hip that night. Yeah. So, which is just surreal in itself, because, you know, here's me, this giant Hip fan, and there's Gord Downie literally right beside me, shaking and grooving away to the Sky Diggers.
Yeah. And he was known for that, to watch the opening bands. I know yeah, he was, you know, the artists love him for that.
Absolutely. A passionate music guy, you know, he's that was his thing. And I think that respect that he showed the musicians followed him right throughout his entire career, which is pretty incredible to have. Met him after the show. He signed my backstage pass, which was stuck on my baseball hat. And and he would sign something super unique to every single person that wanted an autograph. So there was this one poster that it was a picture of Gord, and it was one of the brand new posters for the Road Apples album. And on the one of the posters, he just wrote, "I'm the motherfucker from around the way." Pardon my language. And then there was another poster. Again, he's got that, you know, it's a picture of him singing, and then the rest of the band are underneath him. And on that one, he said, "I'm singing solely for you, naive guy." You know, he just had these little quips.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
On mine, he wrote, because it was on my hat, he wrote this, the outer brim, and then, you know, signed his name to it. So, and I still have it to this day, obviously. And it's one of those bizarre little prize possessions.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. So when did you first get into the hip?
I got into the hip in 89. So the first time I ever heard them, Blow It High Dough is being played on Much Music, and you hear that riff. I come ripping out of my bedroom, and there's this amazing song. I just stood there. I can remember it vividly. Me just kind of stopped in my tracks as this song came out. And then you've seen that video. To this day, it's one of my favorite videos.
Right.
It's a great, great song. And that was my intro. That was my, my intro to the hip and the catalyst that basically started me off. And then I never missed a tour.
Nice.
Then on, you know, every single tour that band did, I was able to see. I was super lucky in a lot of times where, you know, they're playing Richards on Richards, and I was able to get in there for, you know, those little sort of exclusive win to get in type thing. So,
yeah,
but that's my very first vivid memory of becoming a hip fan.
Okay. Yeah. That's around the same time as me. I think I told the story on the first episode of this podcast, but I heard, New Orleans, and I enjoyed it. And then it was actually 38 years old that I heard on the radio at Matt's house. And I can picture it like on the radio. And I actually told the guys this, that I thought it was Tracy Chapman. She was
popular
at the time. Yeah. And and then they said it was the hip. And I'm like, wow, that's two songs I like. And so I got the album and fell in love right away. And I didn't get to see them until 93. So Roadside Attraction in, out here at Seabird Island was my first show.
Yeah.
So were you how long were you in Winnipeg for then?
So I moved to Calgary in 92 because I started working at a record store. I was around 1990, 91, the same time that I was working with that catering company. In Winnipeg, there was a chain called the Record Baron. And I guess their equivalent would be A&B Sound, only in terms of the way they had their pricing. You know how A&B would get their aggressive pricing and bringing people into, you know, buy the hardware. But the Record Baron just had these great prices on, you know, all their stock. So I was a customer first, and I was super loyal to that company. And for whatever reason, likely because the prices fit my pocketbook at the time. And so I started working with them, and then they opened up a shop in Calgary. And at that time, there were seven major labels. So in Calgary, the cool thing was all of the labels are coming through because we're a new store, and, you know, they're bringing us posters, they're bringing us play copies to play in store. You know, I remember when the MCA rep at the time, Claudia Neff, brought in the advance for Fully Completely, and then a bunch of artwork that we put up on the walls. And, Fully Completely is probably my favorite hip album.
Right.
But so fast forward to 93, where I started working with BMG because the labels are coming in and visiting us, and I'm getting to know the reps and the branch managers and all that sort of thing. So I started with BMG as a customer service rep, which is an entry-level position. And then I was transferred to Vancouver in 95 in a sales capacity. And at that time, I had the Future Shop account, all the HMVs, Virgin Megastore. I had everything but A&B Sound, Stan the Record Man. So, that was my my way to get to Vancouver. I was essentially transferred here, and you know, I loved the city so much I wasn't going to say no. So
yeah, it breaks my heart a bit to hear all those record stores you mentioned, and
totally
not a lot around anymore. Although Sunrise is starting to pop up quite a bit around here.
Yeah. Yeah. Sunrise bought all of the HMV, not all the HMV locations, but quite a few of those HMV locations. So, you know, the only thing, they don't have a downtown presence, which is fine. You know, you've still got some great independent shops.
There are, yeah.
Yeah.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
A few years later, I believe you had the chance to meet Gord again when he was doing some solo work. And that's, you know, what this podcast is really about. So I'm not sure if you even know the premise is that this is a show about some diehard hip fans, myself included, who have never really given Gord's solo work much of a chance. And so we are, as of this recording, we are about halfway through, and all of us have just fallen in love with this music. I'd heard certain songs before. I knew Secret Path well, and I knew a single here and there, but I cannot believe how strong this work is. So what was your experience with Gord as a solo artist?
It was phenomenal. So I got to work with Gord on the Grand Bounce tour, which is my favorite solo album of his, only because I guess being able to work with him. But I just love a lot of the music on there as well.
Like, it is a great album.
Yeah, The East Wind is probably one of my favorite songs of his. Mm-hmm. But so he came through for that tour. I knew that I was going to be working with him. He was such a huge part of my DNA, my music DNA as a kid, that, you know, I've got him on this massive pedestal.
Yeah.
So I barely slept the night before. I go and pick both him and his manager up at their hotel. His manager at the time was Bernie Breen, who they were also working with the Sam Roberts Band at the time. Bernie is a great, great guy. One of these managers that really gets it. You know, I pick up Gord and our first stop is at, Gordon and Bernie. And I picked them up and our first stop is at Seafox, and where their building is, there's a great sort of private elevator. It's essentially the service elevator. So we get in there, we ended up stopping at one of the floors, and this new mother comes in the elevator with her newborn. And the baby is crying, and you can tell she's a little bit, you know, it's rattling her for sure.
Right.
Gord kind of motions to her and asks, you know, can I pick up your baby? Which he does. And the baby immediately stops crying. And he's got this sort of rocking, you know, it's just Gord being a human. In fact, it really humanized him. Baby stops crying. It's our turn to get off the elevator. He hands the baby back to the mom. I don't even know if she knew who actually held her baby, but, you know, that was one of those really endearing things with Gord. And, you know, me being so nervous, and that actually helped cut a little bit of the tension for me. Not that there was tension, it was just my nerves. You know, it's just, you know, not many people made me that nervous, but he was definitely one of them, only because I had him on the pedestal. But he could not have been a nicer man. He was just super casual. We did talk a little bit of hockey. I tried to find some sort of a commonality, something that is not going to be just music, music, music to him. You know, we talk about the Bruins. You know, we can always talk about the weather, but people do that all day long. So, you know, his favorite venues and all that sort of thing. So it was just a great experience for me. And then at the end of the day, we finish up and I'm taking him and his manager back to the venue. They're playing the Vogue. So Gord's got to go and do sound check. And I finally get up the nerve to ask for a photo. And he says, yeah, no problem. And I pass my, I don't know if it was my stupid little iPhone at the time, or if it was a, it might've even been a digital camera. So anyway, Bernie's got the camera, and all of a sudden I feel this knuckle drag up the back of my spine and I smile, and it's, right. It's kind of like makes somebody laugh. So apparently that's something that he did, just to get a smile and a reaction out of somebody, because I was asked by Neil Morrison, who had done the interview with Gord at CFOX, did he run his knuckle up the back of your spine? And, you know, he did the exact same thing to Neil. So, you know, it's just one of those really somewhat intimate in a certain regard, because here's somebody literally dragging their knuckle up your spine, you know, and it's no one has ever done that other than my wife when I get my back scratched, you know, that sort of thing. So
seems like a very Gord thing to do.
Exactly.
So that, you mentioned you were at CFOX that day. So that must be the Neil Morrison interview. I actually remember about a month or so ago, the Gord Downie social media people put a clip of that up online. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So you were there for that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what that would have been. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And being able to facilitate that sort of thing and, you know, even see the behind the scenes thing. It was that's one of my favorite takeaways from, you know, having been a promotions rep for quite a while.
You mentioned your favorite Hip album is Fully Completely.
Yeah.
And your favorite Gord solo album is the Grand Bounce.
Easily. Yeah.
So how about a couple of top tracks from the Hip and from Gord solo?
Yeah, you know what? It's so tough with the Hip because they've got so much, but Locked in the Truck of a Car has always been one of my favorites, because live, it's such a special, you know, moment in the show or when they played it live. And the really cool thing about that song is if you know the live version of Highway Girl, so, you know, as well. So a lot of the bits and pieces from that song end up in Locked. And that was very common for them, where they would have that middle sort of stanza in certain songs where he'd be spewing lines and they would show up. You know, I remember that happening during, I can't remember what the live song would have been, but Nautical Disaster, which, you know, again, is another one of my favorite Hip songs. And then Nautical Disaster became one of those things where they would get into a little bit of a jam. And I think during the Saturday Night Live performance, when they did that song, they, I believe, if it's not on Saturday Night Live, it's on the that first live record, but they start doing some Skydiggers, you know, things, you know, Escape at Hand for the Traveling Man is one of my favorite tunes by them, because it's just a really cool story in that song.
Yeah, that's one of the songs I actually remember him wood chopping, I believe in the middle of Nautical. And,
yeah.
I think it was one of the Roadside Attraction tours. And there's that Idle Conversations bit at the end. And then the next album comes out and there it is.
Exactly. And that also happened for Scared, where at the end of, it's not Scared, it's something off of Day for Night, where you do the rolling.
Yeah, Thugs.
Thugs, that's right. So they, you know, hit the one line where you do the rolling, I do the detail, or I think I've just messed that up. So it might be So anyway, I would always look and listen for those during live sets. And then I couldn't wait to hear what would happen for the next record and how he would implement that stuff. So right. It was always, that was kind of like that thing you would chase for the next record once you experienced something and you knew it so well in the live setting. I would imagine, you know, they've got that song Depression Suite, which is another amazing tune, which is their longest tune. I would like to think that some of those bits and pieces have come from jams as well.
My favorite hip tracks are always changing, you know, daily, but you know, Nautical's always up there for me, and also the Depression Suite, which you mentioned. And mm-hmm. I actually remember the first time I heard that was, if you remember the album release for that, they George Strombolopoulos actually hosted a show at you know, that they put in theaters across the country.
Yeah.
And I remember walking in a couple minutes late, and I think my son had just been born that year, and it was, you know, I didn't get out that often, and get to the theater and sit down, and they just finished the first little bit. And, you know, of course that song is like basically three songs in one.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing that song and just being blown away, and
yeah,
really actually got back into the hip big time because of that show. Do you remember seeing that?
I did. In fact, I helped, you know, with what I used to do with Universal. That was one of the things that we would do. We'd set up that kind of contesting and, you know, the additional exposure, and that, I think that, launch was really cool because you also got to see the Bathhouse Studios and their pool room upstairs. And
yeah, they played Bob Cajun while shooting a game of pool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, I remember they set up a drum kit in the kitchen for Thompson Girl, and they're like, yeah, this is exactly where the drum kit was when we recorded this song.
Yeah. And all that kind of stuff. I could watch that all day long.
It's hard to find too. You know, you can find little snippets here and there online, but I would love to see like a re-release of that one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it, like I said earlier, it really got me right back into the hip. You know, I was at a bit of a low point before that, and just brought me back big time.
Yeah. And I think it kind of rejuvenated my love as well, because now for Plan A, it's not something that I put on a lot. There's some great songs on that record, but it's just not something that I listen to that often. So, you know, and I ended up loving, their last record, only because of, you know, they got back into some tempo and some great rock stuff on there. And, you know, the interesting thing about that album is that it was going to be originally called, I think it was going to be called Ziggy, Dougie Stardust. And if you remember the little baby, with that wig, it's a Bowie wig. So,
okay.
Yeah, I believe it was going to be called Dougie Stardust before they ended up, renaming it. But, anyway, that's a tangent that I don't think I meant to go on, but, you know, it's, that happens with bands that you can be a huge fan of, is that, you know, if you look at a band like Pearl Jam, sometimes you have some ebb and flow in terms of the music that you'll gravitate more yeah. towards, as opposed to some of the releases. You know, you can't love it all. It's just kind of hard. So you can say that about so many legacy acts that are out there now. And then on Gore's last solo record that was released with Bob Rock, there's some amazing music on there. I think In the Field is probably one of my favorite tunes off of that record. And I like that one, that album in particular, because it was a sort of a return to the tempo as well. There's some great mellow stuff on the solo records, but this one felt like seems a little bit more concise, in fact, compared to some of the other things that he had been doing in the solo side.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk with me today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me a part of this. I'm really quite honored to be a part of this. So it's very cool of you to reach out to me, Craig, and I hope everything goes really well with this.
Yeah. Thanks. And maybe I'll give a quick shout out too, since Matt was the one who brought us together. So, I should mention Matt, our friend Matthew Pinch is a newly published author. If you're into, I'm really sorry, Matt, if you're hearing this, I have not listened to your book yet or read your book yet, but I promise I'm going to this summer. I believe it's called Taste by Matthew Pinch. You can find it on Amazon. It's a horror/thriller. Have you read it?
I have started it, and I read it with Matt's voice in the background, basically. So it's I think that's kind of natural for that to happen. Yeah, right. But I'm excited that Matt had finally got that book out there, and I jumped online and got it on Amazon right away, and it showed up, I think, the next day. So yeah, it's great to see that Matt's following that passion of his as well.
Yeah. He tells me there's a sequel this summer, so it'll be perfect timing. I can do both at once.
Yeah.
But anyways, right. So thanks for coming on, and take care.
Thanks, Craig. You too. Let me know if there's anything else you need.
Okay. Sounds good.
Take care. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Discovering Downey. To find out more about the show and its host, visit discoveringdowney.com. You can email us at discoveringdowney@gmail.com. And hey, we're social. Check us out at Gord Downey Pod.
Tuvra! Podcasts and such.